Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
John 14 and 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want to talk a little while today on the simple subject, in my Father's house. Shortly after the 1912 presidential election, Woodrow Wilson visited an aged aunt to whom he hadn't seen for a very, very long time, and she looked at him and said, "What are you doing these days, Woodrow?" "I've just been elected president," replied Wilson. "Oh, yes? President of what?" inquired the aunt. "Of the United States." "Oh, don't be silly," she snorted impatiently. It seemed impossible to her, and sometimes you and I don't make room for the impossible. We are like the family members at Jairus's home when Jesus showed up. He looked at the mournful faces, the sad eyes, the depressed postures, the monotone voices mumbling back and forth, and he said to them, "Give place. The girl is not dead. She's just asleep." And they laughed him to scorn, but he waved them off and told them to get out. Their negativity would not detour his mission. A man with faith had asked him to pray, and before the next hour pushed shadows on the sundial further toward the night, the little girl sat up, rejoicing was heard, and shouts of joy and amazement. You see, my friend, we need to believe in the impossible. Not just in the impossible, but that the impossible can be done. And when we understand the power of God as the Creator, the power of God as the Eternal One, yes, we need to see God as the Creator. As Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in Job 26 and 7, he stretcheth out the north over the empty and hangeth the earth upon nothing. I mean, come on, a God that can do that, he can do the impossible. We need to see God as the eternal. Revelation 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty God. Psalm 90 and 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So my friend, doesn't matter what kind of time crunch you're in or how time sensitive the situation that you're facing, the eternal God can handle it. He's also the living God. Daniel 6:26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Or 1 Peter 3 and 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's a God that lives. Psalm 103:14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. How about the fact that he's omnipresent? Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Oh, what a God we serve. And what about the fact that he is omnipotent? Revelation 19 and 6 tells us, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Or 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. How about Jeremiah 32:17? Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, did you hear that, friend? Did you hear that? Facing fear, facing panic, stricken situations, anxiety attacks. Oh, we have so many depressive disorders in this hour, but hear me today. The encouragement from the Word of God. There is nothing too hard for this Almighty God. He's omnipotent. He's got all power. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. How about the fact that the Almighty God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing? Job 34:21, for his eyes are upon the ways of men, and he seeth all his goings. Psalm 139:4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. My friend, God can do the impossible. And when you realize that, you realize that this is what caused many of faith in olden days and times past, like Father Abraham. Abraham looked for it. He looked for it over the sandy dunes and past the cauldrons of doom, beyond the long shadows of evening and desert passages, hauntingly lonely at night. Would the next hill reveal a tip of one spire off in the yearning distance? Would it show a hint of God's house? He pressed past the doubt-filled air of childless days. He pressed onward to the divine destiny. He pressed when others, like his nephew Lot, left for more impressive lands of Sodom. He pressed on when failure nipped at his conscience for lying to a Pharaoh about his wife. Yes, Father Abraham pressed on when fire and brimstone rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah because God couldn't find 10 righteous. Father Abraham pressed on when manipulated by his wife to have a son with Hagar, as if to manufacture God's promise through human means. Father Abraham pressed on when the young man Isaac, the promised child, was to be sacrificed to God as a burnt offering of devotion. Thank God for the ram caught in the thicket, and thank God for a lamb caught in a thicket of love for the lost, that he couldn't let us go to hell without hope. Yes, Father Abraham pressed on, staggered not, wavered not, was divided not by doubt, was not persuaded by unbelief, was not discouraged when God spoke, for he believed. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. My friend, when we think about the persistence of Father Abraham, who looked for that city, who sought for his father's house, not his earthly father, but his heavenly father's house, then you see it predicated here in Matthew 7:7-8, that those with a true persistent faith, those with a consistent prayer life, those who are daily altar builders on their way to that city whose builder and maker is God, then you think about it this way, that you don't just ask and get satisfied with it's given. No, friend, then you want to seek. And even if you find it after that, you want to knock. You get into this pattern of persistent prayer that never lets up and will never let go until Jesus returns. You see, my friend, today in my Father's house, the lowly get to dine with the elite. Mephibosheth could have told you. He would have encouraged you. As the crippled son of Jonathan, David's best friend, there is always a place for the bruised reed and the smoking flax. He would have told you that despite the gallantry of mighty men who could wield swords and kill giants and tackle lions and wrestle bears and win impossible battles, he would have given you a hint about his house. The doors are always open. The table is set. The festivities are lavish. The music is loud. The servants are always laughing. The cupboards are never bare. The cup is never empty of the sweetest water or the most delicious of the vines. He had been brought to a king's table. Oh my, how would he fit in? How would he talk with the royal legends? How could he, Mephibosheth, the cripple, dare reach for a leg of sumptuous meat from the same platter that warriors took from? But he gave them something they didn't have. Everyone else deserved to be there, earned a seat there, did some grand deed to have a place at the table. But Mephibosheth gave them something that was missing. He gave them a seat of mercy. He provided them with the backstory of, I don't deserve this, and I should have never been granted a place in this kingdom. Yes, he was the seat for mercy. After all, isn't that what the broken body of Jesus proved? Where blood spilled and red rivers formed, where moans of crucifixion scolded the silent wind with breaths of desperation and hope, where love formed a heart in the sands of time that no man could ever really understand. Jesus on the cross was swinging open the door to his dad's house. Come in. Come and dine, O wounded soul. Come and dine, O wayward heart. Come and dine, O hopeless wanderer. Come in and rest your feet. Come in and take a seat at the table. Grace is the butler and mercy is the server. Lamb is the meat, and when you partake of it, you will never be the same. Think the same. Look at yourself the same. Look at the world the same. Clarity will clean away the cataracts of sightless sin. Love will open your eyes to possibilities beyond your imagination. Oh, Jesus said it, let not your heart be troubled. But we do get troubled. We feel the anxiety flame torch our insides and burn with restlessness and untold fears. We do get troubled. We long for a peaceful world that seems vaporized from our best imaginative hopes. Nothing left but ashen nightmares filled with terrorism and horror headlines and more threats. Death and disease, bombs and bloodshed, frightening front covers of magazines and filled up morgues. But then it echoes from the quickening recordings of spiritual implants in our souls. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Yes, I do believe. You're the one, Jesus, who made lepers lovable. You're the one who walked away from heaven's prestigious robes to wear the rags and coveralls of rotten human flesh. Yes, I do believe. You're the one, Jesus, who walked on water. And if you walked on water, you can probably walk through the turmoil and stress of our modern world. Yet, we too often relate to the sinking disciple Peter, distracted by political winds and financial adversities and Sodom and Gomorrah-type invasions of church and home. We too often sink in distress and forget that we are blessed. We too often sink in the rising waves of popular anti-God thought and theory. And we say, as Peter said that day, save us. We see China building, literally, building islands in the sea, and we are troubled. We see a crazy man in North Korea throwing around missiles like it's some simplistic pillow fight he's in with the world. We see ISIS decimating landmarks and religious shrines and historical artifacts, killing and torturing the young and the old, rushing dusty streets wherever they can, waving intimidating black Muslim flags of jihad, and we are troubled. One columnist wrote, "The popularity of movie superheroes is at an all-time high. Marvel is releasing at least 2 films a year, and DC is making more than ever before." Another columnist explained, "In times of trouble, people tend to wish for someone who is bigger than them to help them. When things get scary, we all want someone to save us, to tell us that things will be okay." The columnist goes on to say, "These are indeed times of trouble, but the good news is that normal people can be the superheroes that we need." And so, my friend, we are living in a generation when people are troubled. And yet, you and I, my friend, we have a hope beyond all other hopes. See, what you need to understand about what Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." You need to understand that mansions is not mentioned to just wow you with luxury and immeasurable space, surrounded by manicured gardens and an endless supply of servants doing your bidding. No, it's more than that. In fact, the word mansions means a staying. It is an abode. It's a residence. In other words, you're going to want to be there. You're going to feel at home there. No more a stranger in a strange land. No more a foreign citizen unwelcome in an increasingly hostile world toward Christian faith and values. Pilgrim's Progress will once and for all be traded for the perfect home. Home, my friend, because in my Father's house are many mansions. It's the feeling that Israel must have felt when they smelled the fragrant cedars of Lebanon and Canaan and drank the first sips of milk or dipped their fingers in the most golden honey they'd ever seen. When they looked around at the open expanse of land where they could plant and build and worship, this was home, a place to stay, a place to live, a place you want to be. It's the feeling that Jacob must have felt after spending 21 years on the wrong side of the river, serving a cantankerous, wage-changing father-in-law who would never be the worshiper of God his father and grandfather had been, and then to get back to Bethel, back to the territory of his most treasured encounter with the Almighty, to finally be back home at the house of God, at the gate of heaven. Oh, it's the feeling that deported Jews must have felt after 7 decades of separation from their holy land, living in Babylon but longing for home, and then to get home. And even if it was run down and dirty, even if it was collapsed and dilapidated and in need of immediate renovation and care, it was home, and they were home, and they never wanted to leave again. It's the feeling that Ruth felt when she became the redeemed kinsman of Boaz. She had been born a Moabite. She met her Jewish husband because his parents fled a famine-stricken land in search of a better life. And then justice caught up with Naomi's husband and 2 boys. They died. Naomi headed home and begged her daughters-in-law to stay and remarry someone else. But Ruth clung to Naomi. And before this narrative finished, a fairy tale like ending fell upon this kind, faithful Ruth, and she found her home in the land of the Jews, becoming the great grandmother of the most famous king to ever rule in Israel. Yes, my friend, in my Father's house are many mansions, more stories that defy logic, that break the boundaries of anticipation and expectation, that run courses through improbable family trees of destiny and anointing, stories of a prostitute marrying a prince of Israel and becoming a thread in the bloodline of the Messiah, such as Rahab, the infamous harlot of Jericho who saved the lives of 2 spies. Stories of 2 older people turning back the clock and giving birth to a promised son at two steps from the grave ages of 99 and 90. It was in the stars. Stories of shepherds knocking out overgrown Philistine braggarts, another shepherd dividing a sea with a staff, a barren woman giving birth to the only prophet to ever have it be said of him that God let none of his words fall to the ground. There are stories from all kinds, kindreds, countries, and conflicts, mingled races, peculiar bloodlines, heroes and heathens, priests and prostitutes, kings and killers. They are all merged together in this family of humans on their way to heaven, transformed by faith and blood, transfixed on a city whose builder and maker is God, transfused into legendary pages of the Bible that gives hope to every kind of sinner, transferred from dark corners and slave cauldrons and wilderness journeys and diasporas to a land that still flows with milk and honey. Some transcended life itself as they walked with God like Enoch and got swept away by chariots of fire like Elijah. Oh, what a story, but no better than yours. Some transcribe the Bible in their own hand, living the pages of the Bible in their own inclusion of the narrative in the eternal word, but always understanding that they were simply moved on by the Holy Ghost to write it, to reveal it. But their story is no better than yours. Yes, others transected dispensations together like John the Baptist, who stood between law and grace as the greatest of a dying breed, a prophet of the law decreasing like a sunset, fading like a burning star on the horizon, giving way to the day star, to the bright Son of God who would fill the universe with hope. Yes, John was the wild preacher from the wilderness with honey-glazed lips, locust shells in his beard, and piercing eyes that could burn a hole into hypocrites. He told it straight because he was a path clearer, a way maker, a messenger sent on the greatest errand ever given a prophetic servant. The King is coming. The King is coming. But hear me, their story is no better than yours. You are blood-bought, fire-filled, Jesus' name branded, Spirit sanctified, righteousness justified, a purchased possession, anointed by pure oil, clothed with a garment of praise, partakers of a heavenly gift. Yes, your story is worthy of a mansion, a room, a residence, there with your name on it. Many mansions. You see, you don't have to be like anyone else. Bring your broken heart to the cross and build your own mansion. Find your own room at the cross. Create your own story and testimony. And then Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Oh, friend, this is no parable. This is no fairy tale. This is beyond fiction. This is truth settled. There is a divine settlement beyond the stars, designed by sovereignty, disowned by the satanic, disassociated by the buyers and the sellers of worldly things, disbelieved by atheistic teachers and false prophets, distrusted by the hesitant, discarded by the sin-calloused. But oh my, it is desired by the saints of every age. In my Father's house.
This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.